Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the voice of the frontline protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Good morning and good afternoon and good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, and we are extremely happy, as always, every single week to have you with us here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. How about these headlines to start off our show? Minneapolis takes steps toward unarmed traffic enforcement. The great minds in Minneapolis, Minnesota have gotten together, those would be the city council, by the way, and has voted to start the process of designing an unarmed traffic enforcement group not related and separate from the Minneapolis Police Department. The staff reported Friday that they've been given the green light to develop recommendations for this new proposed traffic safety division. Well, when you hear traffic safety division, you automatically begin thinking about what? Educating drivers and teaching them how to be more safe and how not to speed and how to pay attention and not to drink and drive. Nope, not. That's not what this unit is going to do. This unit is going to eliminate racial disparities in traffic enforcement. In other words, they're going to concentrate on a more diversified audience. Maybe they're going to target whites. It doesn't say it won't. Maybe their team will entirely be made up of African Americans. It doesn't say they won't be. But they are going to eliminate racial disparity in traffic enforcement. The council members say, we urgently need traffic safety in our community, and we're submitting a proposal that will not only increase traffic safety, but reduce harm to our neighbors in the process. In other words, their new traffic safety and traffic enforcement division, unarmed, will not use any force against the drivers regardless of what. What they're really saying in hidden language is that we're going to put a bunch of unarmed, untrained, quasi-security guards, no offense, out there to stop traffic, stop violators, educate them on the side of the road. Hope they don't pull a gun on them and kill them. Hope they don't fight them when they do get issued a citation. Hope that this staff of unarmed, unexperienced, non-law enforcement don't get the hell beat out of them. Given that we are a community who has been disappropriately and disproportionately harmed by law enforcement for unsafe driving behaviors, we are going to change that in this process. Our goals are, number one, maximize the traffic safety benefits of traffic enforcement. Well, if they wanted police to be educators, that's what their job description would have said. If they wanted teachers on the road, they would set up checkpoints at every corner and educate. Number two, we're going to eliminate racial disparities and traffic enforcement. I'm telling you, I'm going to be watching this very close. I bet you that the percentage of whites and non-minority drivers will go through the roof. Number three, we're going to educate the public on safe driving behaviors and traffic laws. Police do that every day. Out of millions and millions of traffic stops every year, only a small percentage are actually issued citations. Police, since I was born, since my first day on the job, have always given education. You need to slow down. You need to be more careful. Remember, there's a stop sign, four-way stop sign there. Remember, don't drink and drive. How many public service announcements have you seen? Slow down. Move over. We play them here on our radio show. Don't drink and drive. Everybody knows that. MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, has been preaching it for decades. An inclusive design process should be used to inform. We do that. Police have done it. And that the police response will not be first for traffic enforcement, but for education. Well, that's good, except I thought these were going to be civilians. I'm not even sure how they're going to be able to issue a citation anyways, because unless they're going to rewrite the Minnesota state statutes, you have to be a law enforcement officer to issue a moving violation, a moving citation. The inclusive design process will be similar for creating the mobile mental health teams. This traffic enforcement work should include prototyping multiple alternatives to gather data and the necessary insights for policymakers. Does this really sound like a good idea to you? Does this really, really, really sound appropriate for addressing a criminal act? They want to make it sound like this is not a criminal act. Someone doing 100 miles an hour in a 50-mile zone, yeah, it's no criminal act. They're not reckless driving. Maybe they're trying to make believe that they don't have a problem and that the police are the ones making the problem. I don't know. But I don't believe it's going to end well. In fact, I know it's not going to end well. In fact, I know several towns have actually hired private security. And they don't do traffic stops, but they do parking enforcement. And just with doing the parking enforcement, they've been beat up, threatened, had firearms pulled on them. It doesn't work. Unarmed police? Never. Did you know that even England, where the bobbies are, that more and more of their police are now being armed with firearms? Yes, they have tactical units. Yes, they have armed police on every shift. But they're arming more of them because even their country is becoming more violent. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Today on today's show, we're going to talk about the Command Staff College. We're talking today about interfering with law enforcement, and we'll address that when I come back from our first break. We're going to be talking about some training events, and of course, we want to remind you about the annual Private Officer Awards program, which we sponsor every year in April. Last year, we did sponsor it in late September, early October, but normally it is in September. And believe it or not, we're having a hard time for people. I don't get this. They're not nominating. We're not receiving as many nominations as usual, and I don't understand it. Explain it to me. Send me an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I want to thank our sponsors right off the bat. We have some new sponsors. We have some old sponsors. Of course, we want to thank Body Armor USA because, well, they've got what it takes to protect you. There's no two ways about that. They do. No, I know maybe you don't believe me, but they honestly do. And, of course, our friends over at Premier Training Academy right there in Charlotte, North Carolina, right down the street from our headquarters. And we want to thank them as well. We've got some new sponsors, longtime members of Private Officer International. When I come back, we'll tell you about those new sponsors. Don't go away.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a firefighter.
Man, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst, and I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Be sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever, with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me,
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit everydayherocc.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water's like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jacket.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny. When you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S. Coast Guard.
33. If you're a member of Private Officer International, and of course, who really, truly wouldn't want to be, from now until the end of May, you can be marketing your product, your service, right here on all of the Private Officer International platforms, radio shows, and websites, social media, and much more, free. It will not cost you one nickel, $1, one quarter, nothing. For the next 30 plus days, you're going to have free advertisement as long as you are a POI member in good standing. Contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Some of our new sponsors, POI members who are getting some of the free exposure, Official Investigations and Security Service. You can find them on the web at officialinvestigations.com. They have offices in Ohio and Georgia, Kentucky, and they also work in Georgia, Michigan, Tennessee, and West Virginia, primarily doing investigations. You can check them out online at officialinvestigations.com. Driscoll Tactical Training, located in Kentucky at the Illinois border. Check out his website at www.driscolltactical.com. They offer all sorts of tactical training, handcuffing, less lethal, and so forth. Check them out on the web today. ProServe Protection out of Beloit, Wisconsin, and Loves Park, Illinois. Check them out online. Give them a call, 800-781-9490, or the Security Training Center in California. Check them out today at www.security-training-center.com. Give them a call, 855-500-3633. You're a POI member, take advantage of the free marketing of your service or product. Contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That sounds like a pretty cool service. Now, normally, this advertisement would cost you a minimum of $500 for the month, a minimum. So if you don't value some of the POI member benefits, you might want to rethink all that we offer for such a small member price. If you're not already a member, please go to our website at privateofficer.org. Sign up today. While you're there, a box will drop down and you'll be able to put in your name and your email address, and you'll receive breaking news, officer down reports, training opportunities, and a whole lot more right there in your mailbox. I want to kind of skip over to something that really has me, well, hot under the collar. In the last 2 weeks, now last week, the topic of our program was how not to tempt the police and tempt them to arrest you. But unfortunately, in the last 2 weeks, there have been four incidents at nightclubs in four different states where they have interfered with law enforcement responding to fights, and in two cases, someone injured and someone shot. Nightclub security guards, sometimes they are licensed just like any uniformed security officer, and sometimes they're not required to be licensed. Sometimes they are licensed or supposed to be licensed as proprietary security staff, but they're not always. Some states require no license at all. One of the latest situations that occurred in Charlotte, North Carolina, here in Charlotte, really has me furious, to be honest with you. Police, CMPD, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police, got a call of a shooting. Someone shot inside of a nightclub. Police and medic, EMS, responded. They were met by the nightclub security guards who refused them entry. They said they needed a warrant. They couldn't come in without it. They would handle it. In fact, they told police, the lieutenant on site, don't worry about it. We got this covered. We'll handle it. They were asked numerous times to step away from the door and to allow them entry. They got very heated. Police took several in custody, threatened to arrest others. When they entered the nightclub, sure enough, a person had been shot. While security officers, whether licensed or not licensed, proprietary or contract, don't have a great knowledge of the law, they do understand that they cannot interfere with the police. They cannot obstruct the police. Now, I want to make something very clear. In an emergency situation where life is in imminent danger, or where there is a good possibility that someone who's wanted would escape, or that evidence would be destroyed before a search warrant could be received, which, as I've mentioned before on the program, it's not like the old days where you had to go down in person in front of a magistrate or a judge, swear to the affidavit, get the warrant, go back out to the... No, it doesn't work that way anymore. You can call the DA's office, the prosecuting attorney, the district attorney, the Commonwealth attorney, whatever that DA or prosecutor is called in your community, and you can telephonically receive that permission. You don't even need to get a copy of the warrant. The judge says, do you swear? You say, yes, I do. Okay, I'm giving you the warrant. That's it. Go get them. Well, in this situation, or any situation like it, you do not need a search warrant. There is a long-standing court and legal law that allows police to enter any home or business in an emergency situation requiring swift action to prevent imminent danger to life or serious damage to property, or to stop the imminent escape of a suspect, or the destruction of evidence. You don't need a warrant. All that you do need is this exigent circumstance. And police definitely had exigent circumstance in all of these situations. Nashville, Charlotte, North Carolina, New York City, and Pawtucket, Rhode Island just over the weekend. Although security officers are agents of the property and they can follow through as the owner or manager might, you still cannot restrict police. You cannot interfere with the police. You cannot obstruct law enforcement. We need the police, and they sometimes need security, but guess what? Nothing gives you the authority to obstruct, to interfere, or to put someone's life in jeopardy. I personally would arrest every security officer on scene. I would arrest every individual and the bar owner, manager, supervisor for obstructing, interfering, and delaying. Last week, we talked about how not to get in trouble. And for years, the most frustrating thing that our organization has gone through for almost 18 years now is that security officers want to be treated professional, but they want to act like a street thug. They want to act like a criminal. They want to act, you know, hey, when I want to be treated like a professional, but otherwise, they're just going to be another street person. They're going to be just another individual. They're going to act a fool. You supervisors, managers, owners, it's your responsibility. It's like having children. At the end of the day, you can blame them for doing bad things, but it's your fault. You're over them. Same thing with employees. I teach many, many companies, and when I teach them various courses, we always get around to liability. And in the law, the owner is always liable, even if the employee does something that was against policy, even if the employee does something he wasn't supposed to, even if the employee does something he wasn't asked to. And at the end of the day, whose pocket is it going to come out of? The owner. Train your personnel. If you have nightclubs and bars, strip joints, you know, we're doing a report for a company right now, for a client, about the locations of most violent uses of force, both from the security officer and against the security officer. It's going to be nightclubs. Every year when we do the officer down report and we talk about the deaths and the injuries, nightclubs are in the top three every time. Every time. It's that. We're professionals. And yet, we want to fight the police? We want to obstruct them from doing their job? I don't understand it. When I come back from the next break, we're going to be talking about tabletop scenarios, how you can sharpen your mind and get involved. We used to do this when we had our old platform, our members-only platform years ago. We're going to get back into it. We're coming right back. You're listening to the Private Officer B Radio.
Every year, 7 million animals are given up for adoption, and only about 4 million find another home. There are thousands of animals all across the country looking for a loving home. Abandoned, lost, and in need of care. But there is something you can do. Volunteer at a local animal shelter, donate, or adopt, and give a home to an animal in need.
Without this woman, my father couldn't have had his hip replaced.
Without these people, I'd be dead.
This man helped my son through leukemia.
Do something amazing. Give blood.
Police in Chicago say they will not be returning to public schools this spring. That doesn't mean they won't be back ever, but they are taking a break from providing uniform Chicago police officers in the city's public high schools for the rest of the academic year. Under pressure to depolice schools, defund police officers, Chicago joins a number of other cities removing uniform police from the front lines at schools. Right or wrong, we're facing a time when people do not want the police there. And what will happen when we're finally clean? We have a clean slate of police in schools, public buildings, and we've reduced the police force on patrol. What's going to happen? Many cities are already experiencing the rise in crime. The murder rate in multiple cities, I can name at least a dozen or more, are already at the highest level ever. Just read a report this morning. Carjackings in all the major cities at the highest level since the 70s. School crime, it's going to skyrocket. You're not only talking about theft, we're talking about rape, robbery. There are stabbings, shootings, murders on our colleges, on our high schools, and even on our elementary school weekly committed by who else? The student. More than 30 colleges across the country now say that COVID vaccines will be mandatory if you want to return to school. California State University, the University of California, just announced 2 days ago a move that will impact more than 1 million people. Yale University, Georgetown University, Stanford University, Wesleyan University, Grinnell College, Bowdoin College, George Washington University, American University, Emory University, Clark Atlanta University, Morehouse College, Spelman College, College of the Atlantic in Maine, Seattle University, Vassar College, and the list goes on and on. You're going to have the vaccines. I've got them. Hey, whether they work or not, I'd rather feel like I'm protected. Let's see what happens. It's like having a flu shot. I've been in the military twice. When you go in the military, you don't get one or two. There's a gun with a spindle on it, and you get 16 shots at a pop. Pop. One pull of the trigger, 16 needles at one time. When you're working with the public, you got to be as safe as possible. The Maine Bureau of Parks and Land Rangers don't have law enforcement authority. They cannot write you a ticket or make an arrest. But that's going to change with more than 3 million people visiting the parks and the lands. The state of Maine is going to invoke a peace officer training and allow them to have arrest authority. A story coming out of Prince George County, Maryland. Again, disappointing. A Prince George County police lieutenant is now under arrest facing federal charges because Edward Scott Finn, who owns a security company called EFI, owes more than $1.3 million in back taxes because he fraudulently hid money in his children's accounts, in relatives' accounts, and didn't pay taxes on it. And it's unfortunate that this lieutenant with several decades of experience with the police department is really going to face some serious punishment, lose his job, and possibly wind up in federal prison. Greensboro, North Carolina is the latest mall adding a gun-sniffing dog team. We have seen at least a half a dozen just in the last 2 months that have added dog teams. Four Seasons Town Center in Greensboro, North Carolina has added a two-year-old German Shepherd named Rocco. Rocco, like the other security teams that we've seen throughout the country, will sniff customers, sniff the air for firearms, anything that would be explosive, gunpowder. And this is because of the rise in the shootings and deaths across the country, not just this year, but for the last few years. And they're trying to stop that. In Mobile, Alabama, a Brinks security guard, truck driver, who was part of a staged robbery that netted more than $500,000, is now going to prison. He's pleaded guilty. Jonah Dewan Bassard was part of a scheme to hold up this armored truck in Mobile, Alabama. He stopped at a Quick Mart to get a cup of coffee when the robbery went down, but it was all staged. He worked it out with his girlfriend and two other buddies, and then he fessed up. He knew he didn't have anything else to lose. So he told police that he was involved in five other similar robberies that netted $134,700 from other Brinks armored trucks. I don't know. How do you prevent this? How do you know when you've got a good employee? You can do the backgrounds, you can do the drug screens, you can do the training, but a person's heart is hard to judge, and there really is no way. A security guard that worked for the FBI, he provided security for the buildings, is under arrest on sex charges after he solicited a man online to pay to have sex with his 15-year-old boy. That's just disgusting. Joseph Francis Tippett, under arrest and in prison facing a number of federal charges. This guy worked at the FBI building as a private security officer, a contractor. Chenega Security, California was just awarded $16 million protective force contract, a federal contract. I'm probably pronouncing the company's name incorrectly. I know of them. They've been around for quite a while. It's Chenega Security. They're going to be protecting the UC Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory and making a little bit of profit. Toledo, Ohio, the public schools have just added a new public safety educational track. This is actually something that we're working on with several public schools in both North Carolina and Virginia. We hope to be able to finalize something here rather quickly. It's been going on for quite a while because of the pandemic, but we hope that we're back on track. The Boyd Gaming Corporation, which has casinos in multiple states, announced in a press release last week that they have awarded a number of their staff for saving the lives of people in Vinton, Louisiana at Sam's Town Hall Gambling and in Las Vegas. Security Officer Paul Bingham performed CPR and used the AED to save a person there. Two security officers in Las Vegas also was able to save a life and that property, and they are going to recognize them with awards, and so are we. We've made contact with them. Delta Dallas police say that two suspects assaulted, robbed, and stole a firearm from a security officer on duty. We did a little news story last week. I don't know if you picked it up. If you receive our emails, then you saw that news alert. If not, go to our website, privateofficer.org. Sign up for those news alerts today. They are all free. In Dallas, the security officer was beaten, assaulted, robbed, and his firearm was taken. This is the sixth reported incident where a firearm was taken from a security officer this year. In 2017, we had over 50. In New Mexico, Santa Fe is launching the Alternative Response Unit. After years of development, the city of Santa Fe is launching the new Emergency Response Unit, which will release police and fire departments from responding to certain 911 calls. These trained but unarmed personnel will once again hit the streets to a number of different types of 911 calls, ranging from someone who's having a problem with mental illness to aggressive panhandling to welfare checks, disorderly conduct, and a whole lot more. Once again, I wish them the best of luck, but we all know what the end result's going to be. Also, a security officer in Ohio, Akron, Ohio, a security officer there was honored after providing coverage during a 2019 shooting in Anchorage. The security officer, Gary Frank, was working at the Veterans Service Commission when a shooting occurred outside. He got a young woman and a child to safety while risking his own life, and he received an award from that last week. Now, we've already awarded Mr. Frank. We sent him an award in 2019 when that happened, and we wish him the best luck. A lot of news. Go to our website every day at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com, and you can see all the public safety, law enforcement, and security breaking news right there. I don't think you really want to miss it. There's a lot of stuff going on. If you don't believe me, check out our breaking news blogspot.com just once. I'm sure you'll find there is a lot happening. All right. We've been talking for several months about the Command Staff College. Now, my dedicated, loyal, professional staff sent out a notice first to all of our POI members worldwide, inviting you to register for the upcoming Command Staff College. Okay, here's the problem. We've had a very small number of people who responded. I don't know why. We go to great lengths to offer some great benefits, some great training, and then people don't take advantage of it. I'm confused. I really am. I don't understand it. If you would like to participate in the Command Staff College, go to our website. Check out armorcollege.org. Follow directions. The email clearly told you what was required. Send a resume with all of your training certificates, any college degrees, other documents that can be ways to show your career progression. Send them to Carrie at Armour College, A-R-M-O-U-R College.org, and she will review it and she'll notify you of the next steps thereafter. Three things always happen when we have special events, special things that we offer. People don't read the email, number one. They don't read it. They don't know what it's all about. And then they contact us and they ask the same questions that we gave in the email. The process here is simple. Send a resume. Send your certificates, college degrees, or anything that you want us to consider. The Command Staff College is not open to everyone. We're not going to be able to admit everyone who applies. I believe that the email to our members said that it was going to be just $200 and the normal price was around $500. This is a 20-week school. It's going to come out to more than 100 hours of training. It's not going to be easy. There's a lot of research, a lot of investigation, a lot of report writing, a lot of homework. If you're not dedicated and or you just don't have the time, then it's not going to work out for you. For more information, contact Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at Armour, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we still got a lot to talk. If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Down reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org, privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info. And you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. And... The recent firing of a 25-year veteran campus security officer at Bates College has me really pondering and wondering, what can you do? A situation occurring on the campus earlier this year when a campus security officer who had worked at the school for more than 25 years questioned a person and requested the student's ID to ensure that that person was indeed a student. The gentleman said that he did not have his identification, but would gladly walk to his room and retrieve his identification and comply with the security officer's request. According to the security officer's report, they began walking toward the room, but when they reached a stairwell, the student, or the unknown person actually, pushed the security officer, and at that time, the security officer began to struggle with the man in an attempt to handcuff him. After review by a third-party consulting agency, the school, Bates College, located in Lewiston, Maine, has decided to terminate the 25-year veteran. The investigator or independent consultant said that it appears that the security officer used unreasonable force and should not be allowed to continue employment with the school. Although the man was finally identified as a student, he had violated numerous COVID policies, not wearing a mask, not socializing or social distancing while socializing, and a few other school policies. So as I analyze all of these facts from the beginning of the interaction of the security officer and that of the student, I have to look at whether or not the security officer overstepped the boundary and whether or not the student should have received a steeper penalty or even face arrest. the Lewiston Police Department was called, and the student was eventually handcuffed by a second security officer. When police arrived, they determined that no crime had been committed and that the security officer had willingly agreed not to press any charges. Based on the facts at hand, it is apparent to me that this was more of an infraction of school policy than that of the law. If a true law had been broken, especially one that rose to the felony level, the Lewiston, Maine police officer himself would have begun an investigation, and had there been enough probable cause to make an arrest for a felony, he would have done so. Unfortunately, we see time and time again that security officers, although well-meaning, often cannot divide themselves between, or separate themselves, I should say, from a company policy or a school policy and that of a criminal law. We often see security officers, unfortunately, using the wrong level of force, and in this case, no level of force should have been used, and it's all because they misunderstand not only their authority, but what is and is not a criminal offense. I am quite surprised that a security officer, especially a campus security officer who had been employed there for 25 plus years, would not know the difference between that of a criminal offense and a school policy. The lead security officer, later identified as Officer Dennis Skinner, said that he was assaulted, that when the student pushed him and began to run away, that the security officer decided that that was an assault and that he was trying to escape the crime and therefore escape punishment. So he began to struggle with the student. And when looking at this, and not as a armchair quarterback on Monday morning, but someone who really, just another citizen, just another observer, I'm standing back and looking at this whole scenario. What else could have been done? And did this lead security officer, which makes him a supervisor, did he use poor judgment? Reviewing this particular incident, I have to say that it is concerning, and it is my well-informed opinion and observation that this person, this security officer, did use the wrong level of force. In fact, he should not have applied any level of force. Let's take this step by step. What was the offenses? Well, the security officer said that he violated a number of COVID violations. He did not social distance, he did not wear a mask, and some other rules that he had broken. Was that a crime? No. Could the security officer detain him for criminal prosecution? No. Then the security officer said he was not compliant in showing his student identification to be identified. The student said, I'll take you to my room and you can see my identification, my ID card. Somewhere between that point and point B, a situation occurred, allegedly, where the man pushed the security officer and began to flee. And that's when the security officer escalated his force. Well, again, let's go back to the originating contact. What was the violation? The violation was that of a school policy, a school infraction, and not of a criminal law. Even though he may have technically battered or even in some states assaulted the security officer, it was a very minor assault, a minimal assault. In this news story, it clearly says that the security officer called another officer who helped to handcuff the suspect. So therefore, he had two-way radio communication. Because this was such a minor infraction, beginning with a COVID violation, and even the assault itself, was minor in nature. The security officer was not injured, had no injuries whatsoever. It was just really a slight push. The security officer should have notified any additional security officers of what occurred and the direction of the suspect. If they wanted to take legal action at that point, they should have then notified the police, which they did eventually call the police department, and then try to observe where that person went and try to keep a distance until police arrived. It was a situation that would only escalate if the security officer did exactly what he did, and that was to respond with a level of unreasonable force. He is lucky that he wasn't seriously injured. He's lucky that that individual didn't push him down the flight of stairs. He's lucky that the student didn't press criminal charges on him for unlawful restraint and assault. We see this time and time again. Over the last year plus, we've discussed COVID violations. We discussed infractions of regulatory nature or civil nature and not criminal. We really need to find some way to instill the difference of property rules and infractions and criminal law to our security personnel. I, on the other hand, understand that this 25-year veteran of the campus security and safety department felt that he was assaulted and felt that he had to take some type of action to stop the man from fleeing. Had this been a more serious crime or a different type of an assault where he was injured or a weapon was involved, I would totally agree. But in this situation, this scenario, I have to look at where this all began. We often use the word totality, the totality of the incident, the totality of the situation. What is going on in total? What is the total picture? If we look at just the beginning of the incident where there were infractions of the campus policy, the totality right there would say, obviously, no force should be used. And this is a matter for administrative actions by the president's office or student body, whoever takes any corrective measures. As I look at this progress, the scenario continued to play out and progress where the student now does push the security officer. Yes, this is an assault or a battery, however, very minor in nature. And that warranted no type of response other than notifying others for assistance. And if that person continued to flee, try to maintain a reasonable distance and let officers, police officers, handle it upon arrival. De-escalation, a big word that we've used for many years, but one that is being not only used, but shouted from the mountains and the rooftops. We have to de-escalate. In this situation, the security officer did not do that, and he used poor judgment. In situations where minor infractions have occurred, even when the officer has been slightly assaulted, pushed, you have to use reasonable conduct and reasonable force, if any at all. Because this campus security officer was not law enforcement, did not have arrest authority, he was not attempting an arrest. He was merely attempting a detention, and we're not even sure at this point if that particular jurisdiction would have taken this misdemeanor battery or assault and prosecuted the case. Obviously, when police arrived, the security officer declined to prosecute. So then why chase the man? Why handcuff him? This is where things go off the rail and begin to seriously escalate. And before you know it, you have a full-blown combat and people get hurt. This is where racial bias comes into play. I don't know the color of this person, but if he had been a person of African-American or Latino, we could probably have a different scenario now with this being a racist or a bias type incident. In closing, we again need to use the word totality and the words property or campus rules, policies versus criminal statutes. Don't overdo it. Don't escalate. Don't use bad judgment. We talked about in previous radio shows how security officers mean to do the right thing, but they don't do the right thing because they don't have the training, the knowledge, or bad, you know, decision-making skills, and they escalate what the whole thing started off to be. I am concerned, to be honest with you, at this date, this time and age, and you know, looking at everything that's going on across the country. One final note. On this situation, Bates College did not leave it up to the administrators or the security manager or anyone else inside their organization to make a decision. They actually called an outside source, an outside consultant for a third-party investigation, and that helped them to make a decision. We are seeing more and more, not only law enforcement agencies, but many private companies. I know of one just in the last few weeks that also had a company come in and investigate their security staff in Oregon and determine that these security officers also on the campus were acting more like law enforcement officers and being very aggressive with students. What we're going to see is that many of these private companies and entities and campuses are going to hire private consultants that are more aggressively monitoring the actions that security personnel take. And if there's a violation, they're going to either cancel the contract or fire that particular security employee or maybe even the manager. In this particular case in Oregon, both the deputy security chief and some of the top supervisors, along with some security staff, were disciplined or fired. And, you know, we are seeing that with law enforcement. We're definitely going to see it continue in the security industry as well. That will conclude this week's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. And we hope that you will contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you'd like to comment on this week's episode or any episode, or supply us with any information on what's happening in your area, any news topics that you see, or anything else that you would like for us to know. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we will see you back here on the radio.